Velkommen til Støperiet i Hamar Frikirke. Vi et møtepunkt for studenter og unge voksne, der målet å bli bedre kjent med Gud, hverandre og at flere skal få høre om Jesus. Sjekk oss ut på Facebook eller Instagram, @Støperiet Hamar. Her kommer ukens budskap.
So I've started a new phase in life. Last week, my son joined a football team. Yeah, and it's not the right kind of football. It's the other football that you guys call football. The one you actually use your feet. My name is Justin Morehouse, by the way. I am not from here. I'm from the U.S. And I am married, 39 years old as of a couple weeks ago, and have 3 boys. And why I say I'm starting a new phase in life, now I'm joining into this phase that I used to see from the other side. I am watching organized sports as a parent. I used to play a lot of sports, and now I'm watching my son go to practice. I'm watching him join this team of his friends he goes to school with. And I'm watching them get together and get ready for their first game. They're playing their first game tomorrow in Brumadinho. And this week he got his jersey. And he was so excited. He put this jersey on and he's walking around. And he didn't want to take it off. He literally wanted to sleep in the thing. I took it away from him in the evening, and he got mad. He was like, I want my jersey. I want to put it on. He was so excited, and I see the excitement for him to be a part of something, to be a part of a team. With his friends, they're talking about football all the time. My son, 2 months ago, never talked about football. Now it's football. He's like, where's my shin guards? Where's my shoes? Who's this messy guy? You know, he's talking about football all the time. And it makes me really excited. I'm a little nervous to be the parent that sits on the sideline and watches, because I was so used to being involved in playing. But the thing that I'm most excited for him, and the thing that I'm excited about my boys, I actually don't care what sport they play or what they get involved. It doesn't have to be a sport either. It could be orchestra. It could be some type of group activity. Is for him to learn how to be together with other people and function and have a goal and go for that goal. I think it's one of the most amazing things about sports is learning that lesson of going together, learning together, training together, and going for a goal. When I saw my son in his jersey, it really reminded me of when I played sports. And I had a lot of hope for him that he would have the same experience I had, even though it's a different sport. And it started reminding me of something as I was thinking about tonight, this idea of being on a team. I wanted to show you guys something. You guys are about to get a little bit of American cultural learning. Okay. So I'm going to tell you guys about this. You guys have probably seen this on movies before. This right here, you know, it's usually in like some horror flick. It's the jock that gets killed at some point. He's usually wearing this. But there's a lot of history behind having one of these. This is called a letterman's jacket. And a letterman's jacket is something that when you play at the higher levels at your high school, you get this thing called a letter. It's the first letter from your high school. And it shows that you're playing on the elite team. I got this jacket and this letter. I actually got 3 letters because I played in American football on the elite team twice and a basketball team once. 20 years ago, this spring, I was on a team. I started playing on an elite basketball team. I wasn't very elite. I was more on the practice squad. but I was still on this team. We had an amazing season, and we got all the way to the championship game for our area. We had no superstars on our team. We were all normal guys. There were other teams that had the one guy that was always scoring points. But our team, we had been together since we were my son's age. We had been playing together for over 11 years, learning each other, how we work together, how he passes the ball, how he catches the ball, how the one guy plays defense. We worked together so hard that when our season started, our team was ranked one of the lowest in the area. But we won all of our games through the whole season and came to the championship game. And when we got to the championship game, we lost. And it was a big deal. We lost the game. I got home after that. Actually, I remember coming out of the locker room when we were done and meeting one of my friends. And I remember saying to him, "It's over." And that week, I took my jacket off. And that was the last time I wore it. Because my time on that elite team was over. I had a class of 504 people. Out of that class, we were 13 guys that were put on this team. We were the elite team. And for that year, we got to wear our jacket. After that year, it was over. All done. Those guys, we used to hang out together and stuff, but after that game, and after that year, I don't talk to them anymore. We had a goal. We went for it. We missed the mark. We lost. There's no more. That was a big part of my life, and actually this stuff took place before I became a Christian. I remember after that, because my dream was to play sports later, was to keep going. But I wasn't on the team, I wasn't a part of something. And my life kind of got a little bit out of control. Now we're going to come back to that later. But like Eric said, I'm going to talk about fellowship. Fellowship is what we call it in English. It's kind of a weird word, isn't it? Like, do you guys ever use fellowship in any other place, any other time? No. I don't. Fellowship. There's actually one place where it's used fellowship, and it's a kind of a popular thing, a popular book. Have you guys heard of Fellowship of the Ring? Yeah. When I was asked to talk about fellowship, or when I think about fellowship, because it's not something that we have in everyday life, I thought, well, what is fellowship? What does it actually mean? Maybe even not in a Christian sense. What is just fellowship? And I like that J.R.R. Tolkien used Fellowship of the Ring, as his title for his books, because of the meaning behind fellowship. It's coming together as a group with a common goal and going towards that goal. It's coming together as a group with a common goal, a common interest, and going after that goal. And when you look at Fellowship of the Rings, you know the story. You have this group of very strange people, dwarves and hobbits and all this kind of stuff, coming together because Sauron is about to destroy the world. I hope I got that right for you J.R.R. Tolkien nerds. But this group of very strange, weird individuals come together. They don't like each other. They don't necessarily have the common interests. The dwarves, they like to be down in the ground, and the elves like to be up in the trees. But they have a goal. And what's that goal? It's to get this ring and destroy it, because this guy's about to destroy the world. in a sense, when you look at a practical illustration of fellowship, that is fellowship. It's coming together with a common goal. It might not be a group of people that you actually like, get along with, have common interests, but everybody sees that there's a common goal, and you're going to go for that goal. You're going to reach for that goal together. So, what does that mean for us? When we say that fellowship is a cornerstone, when we look at Acts 2, which is kind of the series we're going through that Eric explained, we're talking about prayer, fellowship, the Bible, and communion as four of the most important things for discipleship. Why is fellowship then an important thing? And why do we use the word fellowship, fellowship, when it's not commonplace to use? And when we look at the definition of it and the practical illustration of it, it's strange people coming together for a common goal and going for that goal. Why is that important for us? Why is that important to understand as a foundational point for our lives as disciples? Well, just like in Lord of the Rings, we need to ask the question, what brings us together? What is the one thing that brings us together to live in this fellowship, to go after a common goal together? Because that purpose, that reason that we come together has to be so important that we would meet together like this on a beautiful Sunday, on one of the warmest days we've had yet, sit inside and hang out together. What's the reason we came together? Why are we coming together like this? We are going to spend a little bit of time in a book called 2 Corinthians to see what Paul says brings us together, what gives us a common purpose, a common goal, and how we reach for that together. So we'll be in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Can you put up the first one? Great, thank you. Just a little bit of background. 2 Corinthians is Paul's autobiography. It's him writing about himself, his ministry, why he does what he does, and who he is inside of his ministry. Up until this point, he's been explaining a lot about the gospel, how he is nothing, but God is everything. God is giving him the strength to do stuff. And now he's going to explain why he does what he does, why he goes to people with the gospel. So we'll start in 5:14. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and he died for all, so that those who live might not live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. Paul goes straight into the gospel for the reason why he does what he does. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. In Christian theology, we think we understand that sin entered the world to cause a separation of relationship with God. And Jesus had to come and take that sin, to take our sin upon himself, so that we might have that relationship again, that we can come together with him. And this is the basic message, that Jesus Christ came and died so that he could bring people back to himself. And it's the love of Christ that keeps them going. verse 16. Keeping that as a foundation, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that urges them on, that gives them love. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has been made new. I love how Paul says this. This to me points out how he views the people around him. The Christians that he serves with, that he is alongside, they are new creations. They are new people. There is no longer a sin nature. There is no longer something holding them apart, but he's bringing them together. Now, there's another place in Scripture where Paul talks about this, and he describes it actually, and it sounds a little Silent of the Lambs, but he says that you clothe yourself with Christ. You actually take upon yourself the image of Christ. You put him on, and you identify yourself with Christ. It's kind of like when I put on this jacket. I put this on, and I identify myself with this team. I'm a part of this team, this elite team that only a few get to be a part of. But the problem with this is one day I had to take it off. It's gone. I'm no longer a part of this elite team. When we meet Christ, when we profess our faith in him, we become a new creation. We become and take upon us Christ's righteousness. We become a new creation. With the gospel as our foundation, we become a new creation. We belong to the team. And the amazing thing about this team is it's never over. We never are asked to leave. We're never asked and said, well, you lost. Now you're not on the team. We are on the team forever. I love the worship song that we had at the beginning. It talks about the saints and the angels. That song comes from verses in Revelation when it talks about our time in heaven. After this life, we together as the saints will be worshiping God together as one fellowship, one team, one group that never ends. It's always there. Let's look at 18. Is that the next one? Yeah. 18 through 21. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, Christ God was reconciled to the world, has reconciled to the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So why is this important for fellowship? God sent his son to die, to make us new creations, and no longer looks at the sin that is in our lives. When we clothe ourselves with Christ, become a part of his team, to become a part of his fellowship, God no longer views us as our old self. He views us through the love of Christ. He no longer counts our sins against us. We're on the team because of what he did. That's the way that God views us. Now, if we understand that for ourselves, that that's the way that God views me, then how am I called to view Isaac? If we're a part of the same fellowship, the same family, how should I view the others in this room that are also a part of that family, a part of that group? That God himself no longer looks at my sin, but has an immense love for me and you, should help me to view the other people that are in my fellowship, that are in my group, on my team, with such an incredible love and value, because he did the same thing for you. Maybe God doesn't agree. This is fellowship. Seeing the value and the love that God gave each of us as individuals and calling us to be together as a family, as a team, moving forward towards a goal. Now, what is that goal? That goal can be many small things. But I think what Paul mentions here about the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation is bringing two parties, two groups of people, or one or two individuals together who haven't been in an agreement, but helping them to agree and move on together in love. The ministry of reconciliation is the thing that you experienced when you met Christ for the first time. God moving towards us, us moving towards God, and meeting in the middle and starting a relationship. Experiencing this grace, becoming a new creation. That is the ministry of reconciliation. It is pointing others to who Jesus is and what he has done. For me, for you, for us. And the goal being that we will all stand together as the saints later and exalt the Lord together as a family, as a group, as individuals that, you know, you guys and I, as individuals, probably will not be best friends. But I have an immense love for you that I view as coming from Christ. I do want to be here. I joked about that earlier. I do want to be here. But in my human mind, I'm thinking, it is so nice outside. I would rather be riding my bikes with my boys. But I have a love and a commitment to come and say, this is the message for tonight. We have this ministry of reconciliation. So that's the goal. So how do we do it? How do we engage in the ministry of reconciliation? Did you know that you're already involved with the ministry of reconciliation right now? You were last week. You were a month ago. As Christians, we're involved in this ministry all the time. When we put on the jacket that says Team Jesus, that is the lamest thing I've ever said. I apologize. But when we identify ourselves as Christians, we represent us, the fellowship Jesus, to the rest of the world. So how do we do this? First, you need to recognize that you are already involved. Secondly, you need to know that it's through the love that we have for each other, the love that we show to the people who do not identify themselves as Christians. That's how we do it. Jesus said somewhere that they will know that you are my people through your love for each other, when he was talking to his disciples. How do we show love to each other? How do we move in fellowship together forward? So that the rest of the world will see the love that we have for each other. A strange group of people is sitting here right now. But we chose to come together and meet together and use time together as a fellowship. But how do we do it? How do we show love to each other? How do we encourage each other to move forward, to reach this goal? I wholeheartedly believe that it is through exactly what Paul has talked about here. It's through the gospel. I can come with a lot of tips and say, okay, you know, why don't you come and be a part of making coffee? You know, why don't you come and we'll go do some evangelism and this kind of stuff. But there's only so many programs and jobs and stuff that we can do before we actually start to show the world love. Like, there might not be an interest for coming and making coffee. There might not be an interest for us going and trying to convince people that Jesus is who he is. But it's through living out the gospel daily and allowing that to create a love for each other and for those who do not identify as Christians. That's the way we do it. Now, what do I mean by that? I find it very interesting that Paul decides to use so much time. First, he explains the gospel, 14 and 15. Then he explains the gospel again, saying that they're a new creation. And then at the end in 21, he explains the gospel a third or fourth time. Why is Paul always explaining the gospel? The book of 2 Corinthians was written to Christians. So why is he explaining the gospel again? Why does he need to tell these people what you guys might have been asking yourselves? Well, why is this guy telling me again about the grace of God? I wholeheartedly believe that our job as a fellowship of training each other, being together, pushing each other forward, is reminding ourselves and each other of the gospel of who Jesus is on a daily basis. You might think, well, that's a little repetitive, and I already know what the gospel is. Well, tell yourself about it again. Jesus Christ came to save a world full of sinners, a world that needed, that was broken, that did not love, that had not experienced God's love yet. And he came as love, bringing grace and allowing us to take part. If we have that as a foundation for the discipleship programs that we do, the conversations that we have with each other, I think that it will strengthen what we do together as a fellowship so much more and make it so much more effective for each other and for reaching the people around us. Because we will start to see each other and the world around us with Jesus' love, the reason why he came and gave us the gospel and the actions behind the gospel. Practical points. If we have this as a foundation, and we're talking a lot about discipleship right now, if we are doing this for ourselves, reminding ourselves of the gospel daily, but then go to our small group, come together in our fellowship at a small group, and we've been doing this to ourselves, and we hear and we see the other people in our group together that we're in fellowship with, through this connection and love with God, how amazing will it be to come together as a small group and say, this is what God showed me this week. Or somebody say, well, I've experienced this week that was hard or good. You can celebrate together. You can have a love for each other that you start to share your lives together in a deep way. It's the same with this, we're talking about doing mentoring in the church. It's the same with mentoring. Coming together with a love and mutual respect for each other, wanting the best for each other, and talking about life together. How much more effective it would be if the foundation for that relationship and talk is an understanding of the gospel moving in both of their lives. This is my hope, and this is the hope that I have for us talking about this basic foundational thing for discipleship in fellowship. It's preaching the gospel to each other every day, to ourselves and each other, in the things that we do and the activities that we do. And it doesn't have to be a straightforward Jesus died for your sins gospel. That's not what I'm talking about. Somebody brings up the fact that they're tired or they've struggled with something. Well, how can God's grace work in that situation? What do you need? My final point with the idea of fellowship. I mentioned with being on this team that it was very exclusive. I had to prove that I could do certain things in order to be on this team. This fellowship, God's kingdom, is the exact opposite. We don't have to show anything. We're included because God included us through his grace. Including others in what we're doing is part of the goal. It's including people in our lives. It's including people outside the church in the church. We include others because we have been included. We include others because we have been included through the gospel, through Jesus. That can be we include others in our small groups. We can include others by taking the time to do mentoring. We can include others in our lives through small things like going to dinner, calling up people and asking what they're doing. But the thing that I hope for the most is that we start to include and show that people can be included that are outside these walls. That through our love and showing that we were included because of grace, that other people will want to be included as well. So why fellowship? We need each other. We need each other to grow. We need each other to be find encouragement, to show love, to receive love. But most of all, we need each other because God says we need each other. And we need each other because one day, like the worship song that we saw saying earlier, we are going to be with the saints, worshiping God together after all this is said and done. Why not start now? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the love that you've shown us. I pray that you would help us to show the same love, the same grace, the same understanding for the people around us, even though we might not be best friends, we might not know and understand each other, that you would grow an immense love, caring, and desire to include other people in our lives because you've chosen to include us. I pray that you would give us ways to speak the gospel into our lives every day and show us when we can do the same for other people. I pray that you would bless Stupidia, the people in this room, and the people that couldn't come tonight. That you would bring us together even more as a fellowship, as a fellowship. And I pray that we would do this all for your glory. And I also pray that you would bring people that don't know you yet, that we would be able to include them in what you're doing here. Amen.
Takk for at du hørte på ukens budskap. Vi har flere ulike møtepunkter der vi samles for å bli kjent med Gud og hverandre, og for å hjelpe hverandre å leve ut troen i hverdagen. Møt oss gjerne på en søndag, eller sjekk ut hamarfrikirke.no, Facebook eller Instagram.